And now, from England,
it's time
for the Wrestling Pundit Podcast.
Can't start. Someone else count me down.
I had to do it.
Hello everyone, welcome along to another episode of the Wrestling Pundit Podcast on the Supla Network. That's youtube.com/thesuplapodcast. Lots of shows on there. The flagship Supla Podcast is my podcast. Lots of video shows and all sorts of good stuff, so be sure to check that out. I am, of course, your host, Keelan Balderson of WrestlingPundit.com. And today I'm joined by Carmine Antonelli.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
And Sam Brooks.
Hey, howdy, hey.
Judging my fucking introduction.
7 out of 10.
7 out of 10. It could be better.
Yeah.
A solid B.
Not bad. B plus.
B plus player.
God damn it.
It's a good little spot for you, Carmine.
Shut up.
Speaking of B-plus players, the big news out of Raw, everybody, is that Daniel Bryan needs time off for neck surgery. The news broke before Raw on the websites and things, but he announced on the show that he is indeed injured. And it is a legitimate injury. It's not just a big storyline. He does need time off. PW Insider are claiming that it'll only be a couple of months, so not major neck surgery, but I guess any neck surgery is not exactly fun. Dolph Ziggler made an interesting comment on Twitter saying, "I know exactly how you feel. Don't take anything for granted. Good luck, man. I mean it." And of course, Dolph Ziggler had his push completely derailed because he had a concussion. So I wonder how this will affect Bryan's position.
I see this ending in one of, well, originally, I didn't know how serious the surgery had to be. I didn't know if it was going to be like a John Cena type of neck surgery where he's back and he just keeps fighting for 10 years. Or if it was going to be an Edge type of thing where now he's on borrowed time and he's fucked. But turns out it's minor, so yay. But this could either he comes back and all the shitty storylines are over and he takes off and everything's great, or he comes back and is the new Dolph Ziggler.
Well, I wonder whether they'll even take the title off him or not.
They wouldn't do that. He's, like, far too over. He's not, he isn't Dolph Ziggler level of over. He's, like, so many levels higher. So he has that under his belt, pardon the pun.
True, but at the same time, if he's gone long enough, they actually kind of have to.
Yeah, I guess in a storyline sense, if there's any opportunity for the Authority to take the title off him, they will do. So I wonder how they're, either way, how they would explain.
It almost sounded like they were going to do it on Raw. They almost did it there. And then fucking that Kane bullshit. But if he's gone long enough, they not only have to for the sake of we need a champion that's here right now, and he can get it back later, hopefully. But also, in the storyline, why would the Authority not take it from him like the next day?
Something I always look back on when people are out with injuries. When you look at Steve Austin, when Owen Hart accidentally broke Austin's neck, he stayed on television. Now, I know obviously look, when you're injured, you do need a bit of time to recover or whatever, but there's no reason why WWE can't fly him out to every TV, you know, take him off the house show loop, but fly him out to every TV and have just segments in the ring, backstage segments or whatever. Because that's when Steve Austin was out, that's when he became his most popular, because he was in the ring cutting promos, you know, arguing with Vince. No one really noticed that he was injured. He didn't have matches, but, I mean,
yeah,
there's no reason why they can't keep him on television and maybe get his character over in a different way, because obviously one of the main criticisms of Bryan is that he's not great on the mic, or they've not given him enough to actually say, you know, after a while, yes, gets a bit boring. But, I mean, it could be an opportunity to make him even better. I don't know how they'll handle that.
Well, one thing they'd have to do if they decide to go that route is, well, first of all, they'd be forced to have to stop having Kane choke slam him every week.
Yeah.
But you'd really have to, if he does show up every week while injured, he has to not be a bitch about it. Like, as soon as WrestleMania was over, and even now after Extreme Rules, after he won his match with Kane, he's done nothing but get beat up and run away from Kane.
You mean he's done the same thing pretty much every single episode of Raw since SummerSlam?
Not even that so much. SummerSlam lead all the way to WrestleMania, there were mixes of things. Like, he would get beat up by Orton, he would get beat up by Triple H, then he would beat up Triple H, and he would beat up Orton, then he would win a match or whatever, whatever. Here it's just, he gets chokeslammed by Kane, he gets tombstoned by Kane, he gets chokeslammed by Kane again, then he runs away from Kane with Brie Bella screaming at the highest possible octave.
All of a sudden it's a horror film, and...
Yeah, because we've never seen that before, have we? Zack Ryder.
Exactly, and I'm so worried about that. But it's like, oh, he gets chased out of the arena by Kane with Brie Bella screaming at the highest pitch possible. And then he fucking gets dragged out onto the stage like a fucking corpse by Kane. It's like, this is ridiculous.
Was that bit really necessary for Raw? I think that just... Well, you knew he was going to be out anyway. Did you really need to, like, bring it home by bringing out his limp corpse?
Well, because then they did this stupid fucking thing where Brie Bella and Stephanie were both mourning over his stretcher as they were taking him to the ambulance. And as he got in... Brie shoved Stephanie, and Stephanie turned into angry Cena and just started staring angrily at the floor for a minute, and then stared towards the camera's general direction angrily, and it was just the stupidest thing ever.
As long as it builds towards a match between the two, which I actually wouldn't mind seeing.
Stephanie, I mean, I don't think... Brie?
Yeah, I like to think that Stephanie doesn't have ring rust. But, you know, you never know. It could be a thing for payback. I'd be interested in seeing it.
Was she ever a decent wrestler? I've never seen one of her matches.
Well, she held the women's title, so she's automatically better than half of every diva ever.
The thing with the McMahons is, they're not wrestlers, but all of them...
Have wrestled.
They have some... Like, they have talent in a non-wrestler kind of way. Like, Vince McMahon fucking... goes all out when he's in the ring, even though, like, they have hardcore brawls of blading everywhere. Shane McMahon's jumping off Titantrons.
Fucking pulling off coast to coast. And I don't know if Stephanie's any good, but I don't... That's the first thing I thought of when I saw that segment, is that those two were going to have a match, but then I was like, do I really want to see that?
Well,
I don't know.
It wouldn't hurt seeing it. I mean, it would be something different.
It would be different.
Because
as long as they don't
Stephanie
somehow...
Stephanie's had the same kind of role within television for years now, so it would be a nice, you know, change of pace if she, you know, donned some ring gear and did nothing.
As long as they don't fuck over Paige and make it somehow about the Divas title.
Stephanie McMahon, new Divas champion.
No, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say that. It's going to happen. Don't say that. I'm just... Hopefully they don't fuck Brian over with this.
They shouldn't do.
What's going to happen at the next pay-per-view? That's what I'm thinking. Or special event, sorry.
Main event's going to be Shield and Evolution. I can tell you that already. I still haven't watched Extreme Rules, but from what I heard, that match was the best of the night. And the main event was good at Extreme Rules. So to say that that was the best match actually means something. So,
and it's a case of how can you possibly top what they did at Extreme Rules, because Seth Rollins nearly fucking died. When he jumped off that that barricade, and it's like, I don't want to see this again, you know, that was already so good, you know, unless you're going to do better, which will be hard, you know, don't bother, change it up a bit.
Well, the Wyatts and the Shield have managed to pull off incredible match after incredible match, so I have no doubt that Shield could carry Evolution to another incredible match, but...
Hopefully.
I guess this means Batista's sticking around a bit longer.
Maybe the thing that they'll do to try and top themselves is they'll finally write Batista out and do something insane to him at Payback.
Hopefully so, because I'm sick of seeing him and his ugly beard floating about on my television.
He looks like such a tool with that beard.
Ugh.
And his
worst
stupid little t-shirt.
That fucking t-shirt with, like, the skeletons.
Skeletons.
And one of them's doing the autumn pose and it looks fucking goofy as shit. I can't
it's
get
just
over
like,
it.
it's just like the symbolism of we're all dinosaurs. Look at this.
Yeah.
They're skeleton.
But hipster.
But hipster.
But hipster. That's pretty good. I don't know what they're going to do for Payback, but... Oh, maybe Punk's going to come back.
Oh my god. Look in my eyes. What do you see? I don't care.
By all accounts, he's absolutely sick of just being famous.
I know, I saw that.
Yeah, his ex-girlfriend wrote a blog. She's also some famous cook or something.
She bakes really? Stuff.
She yeah. Bakes. But yeah, she wrote a blog basically saying that Punk's sick of the fans harassing him. People are like at his door and stuff where he lives. And he just wants to, you know, go chill out at a hockey game or whatever. And he just wants to like relax and get out of the limelight. So I don't see him coming back anytime soon.
Well, no, you know, yeah, there's a very simple solution to ending, you know, the excessive fan harassment. And that's fucking tweet something, dude. I mean, you haven't made any official public statements since the beginning of the year about what you've done, so maybe some clarification would, you know, appease the fans a little bit more, as opposed to just showing up here and there at various sports games or TV yeah. shows.
Stop giving them something to latch onto. Just give them a definitive, this is what fucking happened.
He's That's basically it. The epitome of cock teasing at this point.
Well, I mean, it couldn't be more obvious to a fan with half a brain that he just wants to be left alone and he's fucking sick of WWE. But those fucking lunatics will latch on to anything, and it's like, oh, he was at a hockey game. This must be some kind of ploy for his setup to return at Payback. Like, you idiots.
This just said CM game. Punk is now a hockey star.
Yeah, he's joining the Chicago Blackhawks. Shut up. He's joining UFC. Shut up.
Oh, fuck off. Would he join UFC?
No.
Why would he do something even more physical when he's already a broken shell of a man?
They wouldn't even sign him to UFC.
Exactly. He's still under contract until, like, next month.
Well, that's another thing. WWE is a corporation. They have to answer to shareholders to some degree. And the way this is being handled, without any official kind of statements, without anyone really knowing what's going on, I think that's a bit of a weird situation itself. Like Vince McMahon said in, I think it was the last shareholders meeting, that Punk is on a sabbatical. And technically he's still under contract. Technically he'll still be getting all his royalties and things. It's just a weird situation. Like, just tell people what's going on.
Talk with your mouth words, you prick.
Like, oh, he's not here, but he's not gone, maybe. Shut up. Where is he?
He's in purgatory.
But yeah, he's in wrestling purgatory.
Yeah.
Next stop, his house.
His house.
The next time we'll see Punk will be 2035 at the Hall of Fame when he comes back, and then he has a heart attack.
He's going to be at the fucking 2000th episode of Raw, and then he's going to be on episode or season 20 of Legends House.
Brilliant.
Oh, God.
Him and
he
Cena.
Just show up there. Like, on the next series, regardless. It's like, he's not meant to be here, but he won't leave. We can't get him to leave. He won't stop talking to them. Please help.
He just keeps Someone pouring Pepsi home. On him. He just keeps pouring Pepsi on Howard Finkel. Oh, my God. How did we end up talking about Punk?
I blame you.
Anyway, yes. Also on Raw this week, it was the second week of Adam Rose. I love bunnies. And and this week he interrupted Jack Swagger versus Rob Van Dam and basically cost Swagger the match by having a party nearby. And
yeah,
if this wasn't PG, him and RVD would have probably gone off and done cocaine in the toilets or something, but
in the toilets.
In the toilets, of course.
That's where
you... Not in the middle of the ring where everyone would see. Now the toilets, hidden toilet cam.
Edge had sex in the middle of the ring, but the cocaine has to stay in the toilets.
But what do we think about Adam Rose? Is it working? Is this the way to go? Is it translating well?
He's grown on me, I will say.
I love the character, but as far as the storyline they're doing, I don't know yet, because it's weird. Like, They've injected him into the already weird three-way feud between Cesaro, Swagger, and Rob Van Dam. And now he's involved because he's foreign. But no one's directly said he's foreign. It's not like Sheamus is always coming out saying, ah, I'm Irish. It's like he's just kind of there having a party. But it's obviously implied he's foreign because he's got an accent. So Coulter hates him. So
is he British or South African?
The guy himself is actually South African.
I know that. The
character's supposed to be British, though.
You can't tell. He's got like the weird hybrid voice.
It's like they're booking him as if he's already over, as if everybody already loves him or already knows all of his catchphrases, and everybody watched NXT, and this is someone that would have got a massive pop when he came out, and it didn't happen because not everybody does watch NXT. When
it's like they're booking based on the hope that just him being there will invoke a reaction.
Yeah, I don't think you can just take what was happening on NXT and just, because NXT has a certain atmosphere itself. It's a smaller arena. The people there are a bit more smarky, I guess you could say. And when you just drop that into a giant WWE arena, like, the whole party looks smaller, obviously. It just, I don't know whether it translates well. And people are kind of comparing him to Fandango, because, you know, he's got this entrance and he does these things and it's kind of formulaic. I think they're going to have to, to prevent that Fandango thing from happening, they need to do more backstage segments. They need to develop his character. You know, we need the camera in his bus every week. It needs to pull up. And there just needs to be more things to it. Not just, oh, I come out, I dance with this fake-looking party, and I call people lemons.
You know how Michael Cole has those sit-down interviews with various people?
Yes.
Put him on the party bus.
That would be good.
Ooh.
Yeah, like Paul and Adam Rose on the party bus talking about lemons.
Yeah, that's one thing that annoyed me on his debut, Michael Cole. If Michael Cole is excited and is into something and he's trying a party, then I do not want to watch that. So
no one wants to go to a party where Michael Cole is having fun, because that means it's not a good party.
Exactly. Yeah. He's a dweeb. I don't know if that word still exists, but
Dweebenheimer.
Dorcas.
Dorcasaurus Rex.
What the fuck?
I don't know. I'm tired.
When Bo Dallas debuts, if Michael Cole plays it straight and is really into Bo Dallas, that would work. Like,
that
make
would
it,
totally work.
But attaching Michael Cole to, like, some party, like, he's not cool. Michael Cole is not cool.
Yeah, I fucking hate the commentary team anyway, so whenever they latch onto a certain superstar, it kind of inclined me not to like that superstar anyway.
Yeah. It's like the Yes movement. When it was organic, it was fun. It felt like people were getting behind something. And then when Stephanie McMahon puts her paws all over it at some corporate press conference, it's like, no.
No.
When they come out with t-shirts or, like, there's so many things they could have done with Brian. Like, outside the arena, protesting kind of stuff. Maybe giving out his own t-shirts from the back of a van or something, like.
From the back of a van.
Just to make it more organic.
I'd actually like to see segments where Rose drives the Exotic Express around and just, like, crashes
parties.
Who drives
that fucking bus?
I would say the bunny, but he's always in the back, too.
I wouldn't want to be, you know, driving a massive bus full of, like, 50 people in a bunny costume. What's it called? Oh, fuck. My insurance. My insurance wouldn't cover that.
No, I don't think so. Well, what happened to your bus? Well, the bunny was driving. I don't know.
He saw a carrot on the side of the road and thought, I have an idea.
He's wearing a giant bunny mask. He can't really see too well.
He doesn't know where he is. We just found him and put him in the bunny costume.
They found him in a field.
We fed him lies. He thinks he's a bunny. Please help him. Please help us. We're all a mess.
Actually, just
help.
The dude on LSD.
Yeah. I like to think Vince Russo drives a bus.
Oh, God. So they're heading to Russo Land?
And then he takes a swerve left.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
But I like Adam Rose. I just think they need to give him some sort of storyline that makes sense.
Give him a match.
And a match. A match would be nice.
What I really find funny is reading comments on websites where you get these really close-minded people, and their only criticism, like, of not liking Adam Rose is that he seems gay. It's like, oh my god, gay campness, get it off.
The guy who has several ex-girlfriends and a girlfriend of, like, future ex-girlfriend potential gay.
This is my current ex-girlfriend and my future ex-girlfriend. Yeah, that guy's gay.
But I guess that's what they're going with like Zeb Coulter, is that Adam Rose is this kind of modern, does what he wants, a little bit camp, but still, you know, gets women and things, and Zeb Coulter's this old conservative stuffy guy that
doesn't get
yeah. They don't even have to play the foreign card if they don't want to. They could simply go with the generational gap of the party guy and the old war vet.
Mm.
But then again, you don't want some guy's gimmick being he's old. Like, that's true, his gimmick. But he is an old man.
But he comes out and he's that old racist grandpa that everyone has, and he's just there, and then this young party guy
with a long head,
with a bunny friend comes out, and he's like, don't be a lemon, and it's like that would work, but they also
that way it totally does work. But then you have the dangers of, you know, is it a Adam Rose Zeb Coulter feud or is it an Adam Rose Jack Swagger feud?
Well, I think any feud with Coulter involved has been really America versus whatever feud anyway. So it would just be changing it from America to back in my day.
Speaking of Coulter, though, I was watching the top 10, WWE Network countdown show of the top 10 bad guys, and they had JBL, and it reminded me, JBL for a while was Zeb Coulter. He was on the Mexican border kicking people out and stuff like that. Why didn't they do that with Zeb Coulter? JBL was far more controversial than Coulter.
Because wow. Glenn Beck only paid attention to Zeb Coulter, like, now. If he paid attention to JBL back then, it would have been totally different. But, yeah, I just like to blame Glenn Beck for everything wrong.
That makes sense. They also need to let him actually cut promos instead of just vomiting catchphrases.
Yeah, that would help as well. Because he seems like a guy who has, like, intelligent things to say.
And he's obviously funny. If you watch those vignettes, like, he's funny. Let him say funny things that aren't just his catchphrases.
But not so funny that they're, like, two-dimensional and bland, but, like, funny that it fits in. Don't just have him in a backstage segment with, I don't know, fucking Macaulay Culkin for, like, no reason.
Like, let me put it this way. Bad News Barrett was a miracle that it worked. Don't yes. count on that happening again. Don't have backstage segments where he just shows up with Cody Rhodes and Goldust playing with a Lego set. And he's like, don't be a lemon, don't do that. Let him actually say things in the ring and fight people.
Let him be someone.
That's always the thing with wrestling, though. You've got to find that happy medium where you have a certain amount of repetitiveness that the crowd can get behind and can anticipate and join in with. But you also don't want it to be formulaic and just nothing to it.
Yeah.
Totally, yeah. I have high hopes for it, but they could very easily drop the ball, and I hope they don't.
Like, anyone who has catchphrases, like, the most famous catchphrases ever, you listen to, like, Stone Cold, The Rock, Chris Jericho, but they all had other stuff to say. It wasn't just, Raw is Jericho.
What?
Layeth the smack it down. Like, that wasn't all they said.
No, well, that's the thing. Back then, the shows always used to start with, like, 20-minute promos and back-and-forth trash-talking, and nobody seems to get to talk anymore in an extended kind of way. It's always a quick interview or some catchphrases, or there's no substance anymore, I don't think.
For some reason, recently, they love doing those, like, debate segments in the ring where everyone has a podium. Give Coulter a podium and give Rose a podium. That would be entertaining.
Like, flowers and, you know, garish things and all that stuff. Make them, like, more exciting question time.
Yeah, when's the next kind of American presidentially kind of day? I don't know.
All the debates and stuff for the presidency?
It's not until 2016.
Do they have...
That's a while away.
If there's an excuse to have that kind of podium debate thing, I think, yeah, that would definitely be interesting.
Well, they did it with Sheamus and Big Show the other year, and I don't think that was related to anything presidential. Yeah, it was the one where Big Show accidentally broke the podium like a dipshit, and then they had to improvise around it.
Was this on a SmackDown?
Well, probably. It might have been.
Because I don't watch SmackDown, and I have no idea what you're talking about. But just give Coulter and Rose a 10-minute segment where they just talk to each other and get mad at Coulter gets mad at Rose and Rose just dances. But not just dances, like he actually talks and just jokes around.
I could just imagine, like, what is your immigration policy? And Zeb Coulter's like, oh, we need to kick them out, they're taking our jobs and all this shit. And Adam Rose is like, bring everybody in, let's just have a party.
As long as they're not lemons. They could do a lot with Adam Rose. They just need to not make him Fandango or Bad News Barrett, even though Bad News Barrett worked. I think that's a character that only worked once, will never work again. Don't count on it working again.
Speaking of things that may or may not work, TNA are releasing a second mobile game created by Namco, I think. I don't know if that still exists, but there was a logo and it said Namco, so I'm going with it. And basically, if you watch the trailer, the official trailer to this game, at 24 seconds, if you look at the top of the screen on the game's TNA Titantron, there is a Raw ring and what could potentially be Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, this is like a still image of the corner of a Raw ring and someone in a red t-shirt, probably Daniel Bryan. Some say it's The Miz. It doesn't even matter at that point. Now, some people are saying this trailer is 100% fake. Like, this isn't a real game that's happening.
Well, it's definitely a real game because TNA have talked about it. Dixie tweeted the trailer, but...
Then it's not fake and they're idiots.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past TNA to do anything of the sort, really.
One of the things I noticed about this trailer, and it might have just been me, maybe my computer just fucked up when I watched the trailer, but there was no sound. I couldn't get it to play sound.
Again, wouldn't put it past them.
It was just shaky text boxes trying to be hardcore or something. I don't know what that was. It looked like something out of fucking Windows Movie Maker. And then shots of the game with Jeff Hardy looking weird. And then the picture of Daniel Bryan up in the corner. And stupid bullshit.
I guess it... Like, there's a few possibilities. It could have been something internal within, I don't know, the game company that wasn't necessarily supposed to get out. I know they kind of do mock-ups of the games and send them to executives. And I could see that perhaps something from WWE just got in there because they're just giving examples of Titantrons or some shit. I don't know. Or maybe the trailer was commissioned in some way. They sent it to someone like Liam to edit. And that person knows nothing and thought WWE is TNA and just put some random post-produced thing on there. But it's a pretty weird thing to get through the filters. To have it's not like WWE would release a trailer and, oh, there's Eric Young.
Either way, it's totally not, like, intentional. Like, there's no way that they would use another talent from a bigger company in their trailer. Like, if it were intentional, he would be front and center, not off in the corner. So it's literally like a small mistake that, you know, could have happened in any point.
And it's not going to be on the finished game. You're not going to be able to play as Daniel Bryan in the Raw ring.
Yeah.
Totally.
But as far as the actual trailer goes, that game looks like shit.
Well, it's TNA. What do you expect?
Because, like, the Titantron setup looks like something out of a WrestleMania. Nothing you've ever seen on an Impact, I'll tell you that. There's like 50 monitors and some big elaborate stage. None of that exists in any TNA thing ever.
I think it's idealized to be the company that they want to be. So they have the garish ring. They have Daniel Bryan. They have Raw, you know?
We are Raw.
That's the whole thing with TNA. I was reading a column by somebody and it made a lot of sense. TNA doesn't have any self-awareness. So they're pretending to be this giant promotion. They have all this TV, like television production. But then when people go and watch it live, they're like, there's nobody here. Who are you acting to? They don't acknowledge what they are. Like smaller indie feds, they portray that they're the underdog. They interact with the smaller crowd. There's an atmosphere to it. But TNA are just pretending that they're WWE. And it doesn't, it, in a way, it makes it seem worse than if they just accepted that they're a small indie fed.
Yeah. It's like the Bo Dallas effect, almost. Yeah. Like,
they believe, they believe. The
delusional gimmick.
They believe that they're better than they are.
When they're totally not.
I don't know, man. I didn't even know they had a first mobile game. Because apparently this is their second.
Yeah, they had some bollocks once, but...
Well, there you go.
And then, so instead of trying to make an actual console game, they're going with the mobile market, which is the worst market.
Well, remember what happened the last time they made a console game?
True, but at least, like, that one had qualities of a game. Mobile games don't have qualities of games.
Yeah, but they are insanely popular. They catch on like wildfire, depending on what it is. I'm not saying that will happen with the TNA game by any means.
The free ones do.
Yeah.
That, Candy Crush again, does, not the TNA mobile it's
like,
game.
If it's like a dollar, then...
Yeah, it sort of plays into the whole, we think we're better than we are. They're thinking, oh, we're going towards the mobile market. That's the most, you know, lucrative market in video game history. If we make a game for that, it will automatically sell like wildfire, regardless of quality.
What TNA, obviously this is the whole point, is that they fail to realize anything about themselves, but what one of the major things they fail to realize about the mobile market is that it is the most hit-and-miss market in gaming ever. You either skyrocket in popularity like Candy Crush or Angry Birds, or you just don't sell anything.
Do you know what would be a more popular game that probably would take off? If it's just Bully Ray, you're a Bully Ray character, and you have to... There's some kind of repetitive task where you just put people through tables, and you get points... And you go on to new levels, and there's harder tables to smash, or something like that.
Flappy Ball?
Yeah.
A puzzle game with Bully Ray and tables.
Like Bully Crush or something, I don't know.
Bully Crush!
Bully Crush, there we go.
The Bully Crush Saga.
Quick, patent it, we need money.
Angry Bully Crush Saga Bird.
Bird.
Just Bird.
I like how they use Jeff Hardy, though, to sell the game, and Jeff Hardy's Jeff Hardy in the game. And TNA also released the Jeff Hardy exercise app, and it's all about Jeff Hardy. Because Jeff Hardy is a name! It's a name! You can advertise it, people know who Jeff Hardy is, not this fucking flying retard.
I get that it's a name, but, like, why would you want an exercise app based on Jeff Hardy? The only thing worse than that would be if it was Matt Hardy.
It's like, this is what we do, guys. Run on the treadmill for 5 seconds. Snort your meth. Get back on the treadmill for 5 seconds.
Go party. Matt Hardy. This is the exercise regime. Eat grapes.
Eat more grapes.
Eat even more grapes. Beat up your girlfriend. But yeah, if anything, if you're going to do like a fitness type thing, surely you would model it off of, I don't know, the Olympic gold medalist fits in your company but may know something about it.
Or you could go... You know, how to lift weights with Rob Terry.
Yeah.
Or the Freak, as he's now known.
Shit, I'd rather have a fitness app based on Magnus. At least he's in shape.
Step one, pout. The end.
Step two, be Hugh Jackman.
TNA apps are just not... That's not a... I refuse to accept
that. Oh, God, you just reminded me of something. No. Stephanie McMahon... was invited to the White House to talk to the, I don't know, the Division of Social Engagement. And basically, Stephanie McMahon was at the White House advising the White House how to engage with the public on social media.
No.
Hashtag Obamacare.
Like, oh, the White House now has a tout account.
So now, every fucking State of the Union address... is going to act like a fucking Michael Cole segment where Obama just shows you how to fucking run the White House app or whatever app they have. It's like, here's how you download the
White House app.
Here's how you download the fucking White House app. Or they'll just get Michael Cole to do it.
And just take the extra step.
Very polarizing presidency.
Oh, fuck. God.
You can take a poll on how you want to see us handle this fucking Ukraine incident. That would probably work out.
It's best for business.
So they do it on a poll?
Ukraine on a poll. Obama versus Putin.
This isn't Russia.
Oh my god, Putin! Ah, you said the word Putin! Ah!
Obama versus Ukraine. Or no. Obama versus Putin in a Ukraine on a poll match. Winner gets Ukraine.
The whole country.
It's best for government.
The 52nd state, Ukraine.
All the way over in Europe.
Yay.
What the hell qualifies Stephanie McMahon? She's born into a dad's company. Like, who... Why can somebody like her have any more kind of sway over governmental affairs than anybody else? What qualifies her?
It literally would have made... my voice just shit out of me. It literally would have made more sense if Michael Cole did it. At least he fucking knows the app inside and out.
Either
or
that,
at least how to download it.
Either that, or they're planning for The Invasion 2, where WWE invades the White House.
It's literally going to be an invasion where WWE helps the United States invade a country.
Triple H versus Barack Obama in a tables match.
Winner becomes COO of the United States.
Not even the president, the COO.
It's the new title for the president.
Well, they may as well be honest. That's what it is anyway.
Yeah, basically.
No politics. All right, what's the next topic?
Kaz... or Kazarian, or Frankie Kazarian, or whatever you want to call him, and Hernandez are gone from TNA.
No.
More veterans gone. And basically, it's the same old thing. TNA says, oh, your contract's up. Well, take half the wage that you were making before. Oh, you don't want that? Oh, okay, bye. We'll sign these other people that no one knows and to multi-year deals and ugh.
We'll sign Crazy Steve. We'll be fine.
We'll sign Gunner to a 10-year contract. Fucking idiots. But, I mean, Hernandez, I don't know if he was doing anything relevant at the time.
Well, TNA, no one's injured. Doing anything relevant in that company.
He was injured, maybe?
I think so.
Well.
But now Bad Influence is gone. They were like...
Well, yeah, well, Daniels was gone already.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Bad Influence was kind of fucked anyway. So I don't know if they had any plans for Kazarian. They're losing people left and right, and they're not replacing them with anything
decent. Don't even have a tag division now. The second tag team that was in the division is now gone. You've just got the Bromans and
the Wolves. Hey! Hey! But they're really just fucked. I mean, like, the WWE tag team division is fucked, but the TNA roster is fucked.
There's a lot of rumors flying. I don't usually deal with the news that comes out of the quote dirt sheets that's not verifiable. I usually wait for people on Twitter or whatever to make announcements or whatever. But there's a lot of things about the production crew nearly walked out and people weren't getting paid and things like that.
This is really turning into a shitty indie. People aren't getting paid.
Yeah, apparently the production crew were behind, so they nearly walked out of a TV taping. So imagine them not having anything to give Spike TV right as their contract with Spike TV's up.
Ugh.
So basically, they're on their last legs at this point.
It all comes down to, really, if Spike TV will re-sign them. I don't really know how. I mean, TNA has enough of a ratings draw to warrant just still being there. But the trend is that the rating is declining. So they could be looking at that and think, well, maybe we can just replace it with something that's cheaper or something that, I don't know, is newer. We've tried this, it's not taken off. But they hired this massive PR firm recently to negotiate these contracts. So it looks like TNA are at least making an effort in that sense, but...
It looks like it's not working, though, if Kazarian and Hernandez are gone.
Yeah, maybe it's a case of too little, too late in that respect.
Yeah. Oh, if they actually fucking die,
we would be so happy.
I don't know.
I vote a live reaction to the last episode of TNA.
Oh shit! Like WCW, like they Hell know yeah. it's their last episode. That'd be something.
It's interesting though how, well, if TNA weren't able to pay their talent and the company folded, if it went to like a bankruptcy court or something, Panda Energy would just be forced to pay everyone what they owe and everything. So in that sense, TNA can't really go out of business, truly. It's Panda Energy are always going to be there. It's just whether Panda Energy decide to just get rid of it. And if they did that, then Jeff Jarrett still owns a percentage. So it could be that if TNA went out of business, Jeff Jarrett could then own TNA again, and he could have Global Force Wrestling as well.
Swerve, Global Force Wrestling is actually TNA.
No!
Ah!
No!
That'd Except be awful. Except it has Mick Foley this time.
Yeah, what is up with that?
God knows. What is he doing? Mick Foley, why? What are you doing?
Don't do that. That's Jeff Jarrett. Get away.
Probably explain this to people who don't know.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Mick Foley was in Jeff Jarrett's latest hype video, the Journey webisode thingy, which probably just means Jeff Jarrett cornered Mick Foley somewhere and video bombed him. And
probably
Foley's like, "What the hell's this? I didn't agree."
It's totally not out of the ordinary because Foley isn't even under contract with the WWE at this point, so it's not like he's out of place or anything. He's totally free game, but
no, but he is a little out of
place. Would he play a role in the company?
I don't think this means they're signing him. It's just getting him to talk about, because if you watch the video, it's just basically talking about indie talent and, you know, all these talented people that have been overlooked, and I don't even know who these people are, and I feel embarrassed like for not Steve. Knowing them. And yeah, so it's just Foley kind of gibbering so Jarrett can make a video.
It's yeah, not even like good promotional material, because it's not exactly promoting like the company. Like, it's just Mick Foley saying, "Who's that?
Who's that? Who's that? I don't know them. Give me see who's that."
We still don't even know what this promotion is yet. God damn
it's
it.
Social media wrestling hosted by Vine.
It's actually just going to be a. It's actually just going to be a mobile app.
Oh god.
It's going to be like EWR.
Jeff Jarrett with his fucking fat fingers telling people how to get on the GFW app.
What if GFW is just the next EWR? Like, it's actually just a game.
No, it's a scrolling potato. That's what it is. It's literally just a scrolling potato. Nothing more, nothing less. Jeff Jarrett has finally gone crazy.
This is wrestling. Look at it.
It's scrolling forever and ever.
Oh, I hate social media.
Fuck social media.
It's fine for a marketing tool, but WWE now, they're apparently going to ramp up storylines on the app and on the network. And it's like, no, just give me in one place. I don't want to have to be confused and have to go watch some random video somewhere.
Why wouldn't you put it on the thing that literally all of your fans would watch? Why put it on something that maybe 12 of your fans would see?
Well, that's the thing. There was this massive apparent pipe bomb by Damian Sandow that could have got him over, but no one's really seen it.
Raw pre-show. There's a pre-show to Raw now!
Why does it exist? It doesn't need to!
Pre-shows in general shouldn't exist. There's a Raw pre-show. There's a Raw post-show. There's a SmackDown pre-show.
Wait. 3-4-5 hours? 5 hours of Raw?
Well, I don't know if the pre and post shows
5 hours, let alone watch something for 5 hours.
I don't know if the pre and post shows are an hour each, but regardless, no one's gonna hop on the network a half hour even before Raw and just be like, "Gotta make sure I catch the pre-show. What if Damian Sandow says something cool?" It's like, no one's gonna fucking do that.
It would help if they marketed it more, other than like photos on Facebook that just say Raw pre-show.
Yeah, it'd help if they promoted the damn network.
Yeah, put something on there that makes people want to watch and
have a segment,
people to watch it.
Have a segment where Michael Cole tells you how to sign up for it. Or tell you what's fucking on it so people want to sign up for it.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, do you want everything wrestling related? Because it's here. And it's cheap.
do you want to watch the debut of the Shockmaster in shocking HD? Well, now you can.
If that line word for word is not uttered by a commentator at some point in the near future, I'm going to be upset.
So am I.
That was brilliant. Yeah, this network and app shit is so... Just fucking put a show on TV that people watch and then make a pay-per-view every couple of months, not every month, every once in a while, and then do stuff that's good and just fucking be a wrestling company.
Your advice is great. Just do things that are good.
It's just so convoluted. You have to literally go to every website to understand why Daniel Bryan got chokeslammed by Kane. It's like, the explanation for this is in a YouTube video somewhere, but the setup for that YouTube video is on the app, which is linked to the network, so you gotta make sure you catch the Raw pre-show to make sure they recover everything in case you missed the fucking... It's like, shut up! Just put it on TV!
It's turning into an alternate reality game, where in one point you have to go out to some godforsaken forest, dig a hole, find a box that has a phone in it, turn on the phone, and see Daniel Bryan having an interview. It's like, no, just put it on TV. You have 3 hours already, and you're not filling the time, right? Just...
Well,
it's all in.
It's the WWE universe. It's 24/7 everything WWE. You can have WWE cornflakes in the morning. I wouldn't mind so much if important things were just Raw, and Raw is self-contained, and you can watch Raw and be satisfied. And there could be other things, but they're not central to anything. But now they're starting to scatter things around.
It's like a scavenger hunt. In order to understand what's going to happen at the next pay-per-view, you have to go everywhere.
And it doesn't help that the match of the pay-per-view is probably going to be shit anyway, so why would I even bother trying to understand it?
Yeah. Because the big matches, like Shield vs. Evolution, those storylines are self-contained on Raw and SmackDown. Everything else is not.
That's the key.
Why? Why is everything else everywhere else?
I guess it's like the mid-card has to get themselves over on the app before we even think about pushing you.
It's so fucking stupid. It's so unbelievably stupid. Like, when they started doing those YouTube shows, like, everyone had a fucking YouTube show. Uh-huh. Ziggler had one. Santino had one. Ryder had one.
Ryder was the first one and got himself over. And then WWE banned him from doing it and gave everyone else a show.
Yeah.
It's like, I saw a video of the Usos cooking chicken. Why does this exist?
Yep. And I saw a video of Hunico's mask collection, and it's like,
why?
How about
does
I watch
him exist?
How about I watch him have a match that's good? You could just do that.
Yeah, a good match that means something, and they build it up.
Yeah, a wrestling company that showcases, I don't know, wrestling.
Remember when wrestlers used to get over by wrestling?
Remember when TNA said they were an alternative and they were wrestling?
Ha! Now they're just fucking copying everything. Everything sucks!
Everything! I hate everything! It's all bad! Social media! Fucking...
That's my impression sucks. Of Batman. Everything's bad. I don't like it.
I hate everything.
We should just take a sign to, like, a WWE show. If WWE, WWE's, we,
If WWE...
Yo, dog, I heard you like WWE, so I put some WWE in your WWE so you can WWE while you WWE.
Fucking... In order to view this sign, you have to sign up for the WWE app.
The sign is just a fucking QR code that you have to scan your...
That'd be fantastic.
And the sign says... This is appalling.
This is what's wrong with wrestling.
Yeah, it's just a Guy Fawkes mask.
Oh, God.
We are Legion.
No. It's fucking Anonymous and the
Illuminati. Oh, my God. Taz, what's Inanimous doing in the Impact Zone?
That's their next stable. Oh,
God. Inanimous. That's their name. Not Anonymous. Inanimous.
Hey guys, it's Ladin for Anonymous. Oh, it's so clever. Ha, please keep our company afloat.
Then Anonymous is gonna fight the fucking menagerie. Because fuck it. Theme song is shit, by the way.
I'm glad it doesn't play throughout the entire match like it was planned to, because otherwise I would just, you know, be forced to bite the bullet.
Oh, Rebel's not his sister anymore. It's his girlfriend again.
Wife's sister.
What the fuck?
Maybe sister is just a weird pet name they have and they're just really fucked up people.
Or maybe he just said, you know, like a southern, oh, hey, sister. And he didn't didn't mean sister.
What the fuck?
That's fucked up if you're in a relationship with someone.
What the fuck?
Then again, America.
What?
Land of the free, home of the weird.
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
This stable makes no fucking sense.
It's TNA. Nothing's going to make sense.
Because I saw their debut match.
Likewise.
And it was the worst thing ever.
The guys that were like 12 feet tall on the stilts
were just clapping, like, and then looking confused.
Yeah, it's like, why are we here? Just keep clapping. Maybe they'll feed us.
Yeah, I see where the Adam Rose comparisons come in, because there's just fucking random people everywhere. And Crazy Steve cocked his head, and I guess that was supposed to mean he's crazy. And Rebel was doing splits on the ropes.
I've never seen that before.
And Nux was right behind her like, yeah, look at that shit. Like, he was literally pointing at her going, look at that.
It's like, oh, I'm banging my sister. It's like, no. No, that's not something you boast about, you fucking carny.
It was the stupidest thing ever.
There's literally, with things, you often get like the moral event horizon where it's so bad that it's good. This is just bad. It's all bad. There's no sense of enjoyment to be had in this at all.
Nux isn't a good enough wrestler for me to care.
He's bland. He doesn't even fit in with his own fucking stable.
He looks like he's still in Aces and Eights.
He's just wearing fucking plain clothing. He's not even wearing a fucking, like, I don't know. If he was wearing a Randy Savage type robe that was fucking colorful and shit ugly, then maybe that would make more sense.
Yeah, like if he was the fucking ringmaster of all these idiots. But no, he's just kind of there.
He's an idiot too. Fuck it. It's a stable of idiots and fucking weird. What is Rob Terry wearing on his head?
It looks like the Japanese Vader mask thingy, unless I'm just imagining that's what it was.
It looks like something out of fucking Robot Wars.
It reminded me of a Shockmaster mask.
He just falls through, like, the stage. And it
that would be brilliant if they actually gave him the real style Shockmaster mask.
With a fucking black feather boa as well.
Just an insider joke. That would have been hilarious.
Unfortunately, TNA is not that clever nor self-referential.
It's not like WWE owns that gimmick, because it was a Stormtrooper mask painted with sequins.
It was the dumbest shit ever. What if he, like, had that mask and then fell into one of the dudes with stilts? And knocked everyone over. Like, there was just a domino effect of people in stilts.
And then TNA would give him the world title because he's a comedy character that everybody loves.
And now, introducing your new TNA World Heavyweight Champion, the Crazy Steve. Highlight balloons! Fuck off. No. Just go away. Back to your flooded carny home with the arcade cabinets and just go away.
After they've been in TNA and got a few paychecks, are they just going to go buy some arcade machines and leave?
Yeah, that's what I don't understand.
We're only here for the arcade machines.
Because that's what Mike Tenay kept saying over the course of the debut match. The whole reason Nux brought these people here is because they lost everything in their carnival or whatever. And so, yeah, how can you possibly keep those characters around once they're there for a substantial amount of time?
I guess that in Orlando, isn't that kind of a theme park, carny thing?
Yeah, why not just get jobs at Universal?
More importantly,
steal their machine.
They just happen to know how to wrestle.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Brilliant.
They would fit into a wrestling company. Carnies and wrestlers are not one and the same. You have wrestlers at carnivals, but not all carnies are wrestlers. What the fuck are you doing, TNA? Why not put some logic into your product instead? This bullshit.
Like how bullfighters actually know how to wrestle as well. Oh, wait. No, they don't. That's why Los Matadores are stupid.
And you think gorillas know how to wrestle. Oh, wait. Ryback.
But the Menagerie is just the stupidest fucking shit ever. It's terrible.
To hell.
Willow's literally better than that.
Willow is something that you can easily take the piss out of and have fun with. This, you can just take the piss out of and somehow not have fun with it at all, because there's, as I've said, there's just a vacuum. There's no enjoyment to be had in there.
Well, if the main focus of the stable is Nux, then he's not the most exciting wrestler in the world. What is the end goal? Oh, Nux is going to be on a pay-per-view. Oh, okay.
Ugh. Because he looks a little bit like Bray Wyatt.
A little bit.
He's got a similar beard.
Just put the fucking hat on and give him some more head hair. And it's like, yeah, the Hawaiian shirt. Go out there and sing a song.
Yeah.
What's another religious song?
Come all ye carnies.
No, instead of religious songs, just sing Christmas songs.
But it's not even Christmas.
It makes as much sense as the rest of the stable.
A Christmas-themed stable. Oh my god, I need this in my life. They just have Santa Claus as a wrestler, and he just comes out and he body slams the naughty list. They have a naughty list and they have a nice list.
Yes, Nux would actually make a better Santa than a carny.
Yeah, just a Christmas version of the Shield, where they're wearing red instead, and they're delivering his naughty list instead of justice.
Now I'm losing my shit over, like, a Jingle Bell remix of the Shield theme, where it's just bells.
Ching, 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 ching.
Instead of Roman Reigns, it's just a reindeer that gores people.
it goes through the crowd, like, with people just impaling on its antlers, and it's like, hey, kids, I just speared your dad.
They literally bring back Rhino and rename him Reindeer. Or Rudolph.
He has the
they name him Rudolph.
Strap on antlers.
He's got to be Rudolph.
Yeah. And he just pulls a sleigh with Nux in it, just handing out presents.
And then you can fucking, when Hornswoggle finally gets fired, he can come in as an elf.
Yes.
Oh my god. This has got to happen.
I'm pushing this for SummerSlam. You have no idea.
For Slammiversary.
We should start a petition. Yo, TNA, have a Christmas-themed stable. For the fuck of it. I would sign it. Carmine, would you sign it?
I would totally sign that.
Who wouldn't sign it?
I would literally start watching TNA again if that happened.
Right, I'm announcing right now, official, behind the curtain, I'm going to make a petition on some website. I don't even know what yet.
Change.org.
Yes, I'm going to go on change.org and I'm going to say, hey, Dixie, put this to your creative team. Yeah, I'm totally going to do this and see where the fuck it goes.
What are we going to call it?
I realize I'm going to have to do some
workshop.
Photoshop stuff now.
The workshop?
Yeah.
The workshop?
The workshop.
That's so great.
We're geniuses. Why aren't we in the industry?
Like, you know how Emma, when she does her entrance, like, the stage starts shooting out bubbles?
Yeah.
It's gotta shoot out fake snow. Gotta shoot out fake snow.
Yes.
Why have they not done this before?
Because they're not smart like us.
Even just at Christmas.
Yeah.
We had Foley claws, but that was terrible.
And then Alberto Del Rio just hit him with his car for no reason.
Yeah.
And then that led to that one of the most hilarious matches I've ever seen in my life, where John Cena used a bowling ball to make sure Alberto Del Rio no longer has children.
The thing with that, Foley was so convincing, he got no reaction because people didn't even know it was Foley.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, it's Santa. We've seen this a billion times.
And then you have fucking Michael. It was a different year, but Michael Cole's like, oh, Santa's not real.
Yeah.
Great.
Biggest heel in the year.
PG era, folks.
It's the reality era.
Reality era. The Easter Bunny's not real. Get over it, Adam Rose.
No, I like bunnies. Bunnies hot.
Lemons are not real either. They're just sour oranges painted yellow.
Conspiracy.
Biggest conspiracy ever.
How can mirrors be real if our eyes aren't real?
Fucking, what's his name? Jaden Smith.
I was going to say Willow Smith.
I almost said Willow Smith.
I just have this, like, tiny Jeff Hardy Willow, like, living Smith.
Could you imagine a little
Willow in After Earth?
Could you imagine a little Willow being like, welcome to Earth?
Yeah, they need a midget Willow.
You think that you are on Earth, but you're really in a shit movie.
They should hire Andy.
And oh he just cuts all of Willow's promos for him.
Yes.
And they call him Willie.
Willow and Willie.
He's free Willie.
Little Willie.
They always keep him in a cage, so then there's like a campaign to like free Willie. Why don't we write for TNA?
Why do we always...
I think we're all still infected with Russo foot.
Yeah. I was going to say, this is like, we go down this path every time. We always talk about the dumbest shit, not even about actual news.
Is there any more news?
There is one more story.
Oh, Christ.
David Benoit's wrestling debut is not happening. He was supposed to wrestle in June for the Hart Legacy promotion, which is Smith Hart's promotion, basically using his family's name, even though they don't give a crap about it and it's a bit shady. And he basically convinced David Benoit to wrestle on the show, but it turns out he's had no actual training. And Chris Jericho stepped in and basically said, look, he's not ready. Stop pressuring him. Stop advertising him on the anniversary of his father's death. And,
wow.
You know, if this is going to happen, let's do it the right way.
So, I didn't even know.
Like, the worst.
I didn't even know that was the anniversary of the death. That's nuts.
Oh, well, it's not the exact day, but it's June. And that's when everyone's going to be Googling Chris Benoit. And they're going to be like, oh, David Benoit's debuting. So.
But
I didn't, that's just advanced marketing right there.
That's the shittiest shitbag move.
The worst part is that he can't wrestle.
Yeah.
Like, photos that was taken of him and, like, you know, D.H. Smith and Chris Masters and all of that, they were just workout photos. Like, he wasn't doing any wrestling training at all.
So he hasn't received any training?
Apparently not.
I guess he's probably been in a ring a few times. Because he knows the son of...
Is he, like... Now I'm confused on if any of this was real. Like, is he actually looking to get into wrestling, or did they make that up?
No, he's definitely done interviews. He's definitely done interviews and hyped up the debut and all this kind of thing. It seems like Smith Hart was maybe taking a bit of advantage of him, and Chris Jericho has stepped in as like the, you know, the voice of reason, say, look, this can't happen. But I mean, me and you, Carmine, were talking the other podcast about this whole situation, wondering whether he's got the right people guiding him, wondering whether he himself, you know, has got his head screwed on straight and stuff.
Mm.
And it looks like this, you know, this isn't really the best start.
No, definitely not.
Then again, it's not too difficult to have a bad start when you're the son of Chris Benoit.
That was, yeah, that's
nothing
exactly
against him, but you're kind of already, you know, cut down from your pedestal a little bit.
Yeah, that was my main point when we were talking about that, is that you're the son of a, unfortunately, infamous murderer, and you're trying to get into the same business that he was in when he did that. You're fucked for, like, the first 3 years of your career.
And that's just from an outside perspective. When you analyze it from, like, a wrestling fan point of view, you can clearly see the things will be different this time around. But because, like, the general public, they don't know shit, so they're going to think, he's gonna murder people again! And it's like, no, just stop and think for a second, and, you know, just think.
Yeah. And also, like, I said in the other episode that if WWE picks him up, you can't have him do the crippler crossface, you can't have him do flying headbutts.
You can't name him Benoit.
Well, I don't know if you can get away with not naming him Benoit.
But would they, though? Because they've gotten rid of his, like, the Benoit name as if it never existed, but to have him debut as a Benoit, it would just kind of unravel everything they've done.
But if he didn't debut as a Benoit, you would get people chanting Chris Benoit
or Chris Benoit. That'd be even worse, or just Benoit. But
then again, they've had the opportunity to do that for 8 years at any given point, and they haven't done it, so
yeah.
I'm not saying it wouldn't be unfounded if it happened, but, you know, I think they would have some sort of, you know, respect, I guess, for the fact that, you know.
As far as the naming situation goes, I think either way there'd be some backlash. Like, if you name him Benoit, and it's like, oh, now all of a sudden they're pushing the son of a murderer. But if you don't name him Benoit, then it's like, oh, they're still covering up the fucking thing, blah, blah, blah. Just let him be him.
But even though it's a common thing whenever any wrestler debuts, but they're given, like, a different name.
Yeah, like Curtis Axel. Or Fandango. The weirdest roundabout name.
The day that I found out Fandango's name wasn't Fandango, I was crushed.
I know, it's such a realistic name.
Yeah.
Would have thought. But what I was going to say was, like, if he goes to WWE, they should make him...
If he gets trained.
Yeah, if he even wrestles.
If he leaves his house.
He shouldn't use Chris's moves. He shouldn't get a fucking remix of Chris's theme song. But
unless it's Andy.
Yeah. Hello, wrestling. Like, that's literally got to be in the theme song. It's him going, hello, wrestling fans.
That's the start. And then it just kicks in.
Yeah. But I said that for if he goes to WWE, I think that should apply to anywhere he wrestles. He shouldn't do the crossface or any of that shit. Do your own moves.
Unless in TNA they decided to be totally tactless and a bunch of, you know, twats and just completely go the full Chris Benoit route, because what's to stop them from doing it like that?
Yeah.
Out of maybe, I don't know, human decency.
He has a fucking feud with the Christmas stable. But
it's David Benoit versus the Workshop. Sacrifice 2014.
Crippling elves. but no, that's another thing we brought up, is that one of two things is going to happen as far as him getting hired to a quote-unquote major wrestling company. Either someone like TNA is going to pick him up purely out of, look, we hired the son of Chris Benoit. Aren't we controversial? Or no one's going to hire him.
I'd like to see him do Ring of Honor, personally, or something like around that level of just indie league, so at least get a good start.
Well, yeah, he should definitely not go to WWE for like the first 5 years of his career, at least.
What worries me is that this guy, he's not a kid. He's 21, 22. He's got a mind of his own by now. Why did he think he could debut for a wrestling promotion? What kind of mindset is he in that he thinks he can do it without even being trained? Does he really know what he's getting himself into if he can't even get over that hurdle? Like, he's going to have a lot more shit thrown his way if he does get into the business. If he can't even train right, he's not really handling this very well, is he?
I can imagine, like, a scenario where, like, this is going to be a really obscure reference, but do either of you remember that film, Like Mike?
Yes.
Yeah. Basically, my idea would be that, you know, David Benoit, he's a kid in, like, you know, the projects of Canada or something, and he gets his father's old wrestling boots, but they get stuck on a power line. He gets struck with electricity, and all of a sudden, he knows everything about wrestling.
He can play basketball really well.
Not even wrestling. Basketball. He puts the ball in a crippler crossface. Which is completely impossible, but he somehow does it.
Yeah. Fuck, it makes more sense than anything else.
Yeah.
I just don't see... I mean, if he wants to pursue wrestling, it's going to be one of the most challenging careers anyone's ever had.
And if he can overcome that challenge, then, you know, all the more to him.
Yeah, bravo. But it's going to suck for a long time, bro.
Bro.
Brosif.
Broheim.
Brosophagus.
Stop it.
You just made me spit on my computer screen.
Was it brosophagus?
Came out of my brosophagus.
But yeah, David Benoit is going to have a hard-ass time if he wants to actually do this.
Somebody needs to take him under their wing who... Someone like, I guess Jericho's busy, but somebody like, I'd say Chavo, but Chavo was going to tag team with him, so Chavo didn't seem to know what the deal was. Just somebody that can guide him and just let him do it right.
Scott
because
Steiner.
This Smith Hart guy seems pretty shady. You know, he's advertising The Rock's long lost half brother that no one's ever bloody heard of. He's older than The Rock and had a neck injury like 20 years ago. He's wrestling, apparently. So.
Have Scott Stone and train him. Go wrong.
Yeah, I think it should be someone like Jericho instead of Chavo, because it's like, again, we talked about this on the other episode. It's like, don't surround yourself with people that are in similar situations, like Chavo and Eddie, and then Smith and British Bulldog. It's like, just have someone like Jericho who knows what the fuck he's doing, hasn't had too many issues in his career. Just train the guy.
Apparently he signed on to join Lance Storm's school, which would be a very productive way to go.
Yeah.
But he never turned up for like the first session, or he went for a few sessions and just quit. He never got the actual training.
I guess there's a kind of apathy involved on his part as well, being that if he doesn't, you know, get the training that he wants, he won't really bother.
Yeah.
Like, maybe he has a kind of attitude about him, like, where he needs things to be done in a perfect way, or a way that will look good in his autobiography when he eventually writes one. Yeah.
If you're the son of Chris Benoit, there's going to be so much emotional and psychological baggage to that. He's going to grow up seeing his dad being the hardcore trainer, 5 million squats every day kind of thing. It's going to have affected him in some way, even if it's just he's so obsessed about getting into the business because his dad was in the business, and that's all the only thing he and his dad used to share together. They used to watch the wrestling together, they used to go to the shows together. His dad's gone, well, you know, I want to be in the business now. It can't be smooth in his mind. There's going to be some baggage there somewhere.
Yeah, but yeah. I think that even with the right tutelage, he could overcome that. Maybe with a bit of therapy if he needs it.
It's going to be tough.
He does seem, like, kind of stable within his interviews, though, so he can't be the worst. But, yeah, he just needs the right start.
And so far, he has not got it.
Nope. We can still dream. As you say, he's young. He's got, like, at least 10 years before, you know, he can make his debut and still be worthwhile.
Yeah.
I wonder why none of the big wrestling newsletters, radio shows, you know, people like Dave Meltzer or whatever, why they haven't approached this story. Why is David Benoit's first couple of interviews on YouTube with the wrestling gurus?
It was with the wrestling gurus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I gotta watch that, apparently.
It makes you wonder whether the wrestling media are worried about touching the story themselves.
Oh, I don't doubt it for a second.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's definitely not something that can just be approached, you know, like, straight in. You have to, you know, tiptoe around it almost.
Mm. You have to be very careful interviewing that guy. If you are that guy, you have to be very careful answering any questions.
It's just basically a whole minefield around both parties.
So a lot of people are probably just avoiding the whole situation.
Quite possibly.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case at all.
Maybe it's just not the right time.
Yeah.
Maybe it just comes down to that.
I wouldn't doubt if they're just waiting to see, like, is this going to blow up immediately, or is this actually going to go somewhere? Let's just wait and see.
Give it a couple years and then we'll know for sure.
Instead of jumping on the kid immediately.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
You never know. You never know with this kind of thing.
Well, keep an eye on David Benoit.
I think that pretty much wraps it up this week. I don't know if anyone's got anything else to add. Any breaking stories they might have...
Sign the petition to make the workshop a thing.
Yes. I am pushing the shit out of that.
Link in the description.
Yes.
Okay, well, I've been WrestlingPundit.com editor Keelan Balderson. Check out the site, WrestlingPundit.com, round-the-clock wrestling news. I'm on there every day, updating things. And today, I was joined by Sam Brooks.
Yo, I am the brainchild of the workshop.
And Carmine Antonelli.
And I'm the workshop's number one fan.
Boom.
Catch you next time.
Christmas!
I love Christmas.